Hey Joe, I like your show. I tell everybody that's my shit. And if you got a long ride and you like getting high, maybe go and take another hit. We gonna laugh out loud, that's what it's about. Nobody ain't safe no more. And Joe stands out even in a big crowd, cause a motherfucker 6'4". Hey Joe, it's time to start the show. Up, up and away we go. Mic check and I like your flow. Everybody, here's Joe.
Hello everybody, and thanks again for joining us after a long break here on the Joe Prano podcast. I have been inspired to bring this show back for financial reasons. Not because I'm making any money on it whatsoever, but because I was just charged my annual fee to host this podcast. And I was like, God damn it. I forgot to cancel that thing. I quit that podcast, but now I've paid for it. And so now I'll have to do it. And I've discussed it on a recent show. I think maybe it was the Norm Macdonald episode where I had our guest on today with Lachlan Patterson. I said, you know, maybe I'll bring this show back. And when in those weeks where I don't have a scheduled guest, I should just have a standard co-host. And the man here with me today, I mean, I couldn't ask for a better long-standing co-host, a guy that if you know Joe Prano, you've heard this man's name many times from his appearances on the Kooks of Comedy, from his appearances on the Dirty Sports Podcast, and just the lore that surrounds his name, Mr. Pete Sestaro. Pete, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Joe. It's an honor to be here.
We are recording this. I don't know when it'll drop, probably mid next week, but we're recording this on a Friday night or Friday evening here in Los Angeles. It is, it's just after 6 o'clock there in New York's East End. It's just after 9:20. What does the great Pete Sestaro get up to on a Friday evening at 9:20?
Well, if you and I were not talking, this is going to sound so exciting. I would be sitting on the couch watching the Mets game, which is what I was doing while I was eating my piece of cheese pizza, my chicken parm slice, and my salad.
Wow. So first of all, so much to unpack there. You were watching the Mets game. The Yankee game is over. You enjoy watching the Mets. What's going on here? We're coming off a Subway mini series sweep by my Mets over your Yankees, but we've talked about it before. You're a reasonable Yankee fan. You also kind of low key like watching Mets baseball.
Yeah. I mean, the older I get, the less I have allegiances. Although I will say I'm a huge St. John's basketball fan. That's like probably the biggest thing I'm a fan of, but I don't get the Yankee games out here. I'd have to pay extra for them.
Wow. They charge you extra for Yes out in the Hamptons, but not SNY.
Yes Network, more like the No Network. Yeah, I don't get the Yankee games, so no one gives a shit about the Mets. So yeah, I get the Mets games. But I got to tell you, man, well, first of all, the Mets are good. But secondly, I really like their announcers. You know, they're way better than the Yankees announcers.
Honestly, I've been a baseball fan my whole life. I've been through great Mets announcers, bad Mets announcers, mediocre Mets announcers. I've heard announcers, you know, obviously when I moved out to Los Angeles, I got regular servings of Vin Scully, maybe my favorite just because he would do it alone.
And he's the greatest.
So much silence. And then obviously we all know, you know, all the national guys we've heard, but I got to say, I'm biased, but Gary, Ron, and Keith, especially when they're all together, is pretty unbeatable as far as the current crews go. And then honestly, Keith and Ron just separately bring so much. They just both have such a great attitude. It's like we were on this we were on this badass legendary 86 team. We're both like not afraid to tell the stories, hinted. I mean, I don't know if you heard it the other night. Keith Hernandez essentially admitted to his cocaine habit on the broadcast.
He's so great. I think you're right. I think they, you know, he's just very comfortable in his own skin. He's done it all. What does he care?
And those guys, I feel like those guys being on the same team, they like, they have, you know, decades of friendship together. It's not like a guy that played in the early 2000s and a guy who played in the 80s. They almost have like a, you know, they have a teammates type of banter, and it's just so great. But yeah, a couple games ago, Pete, apparently when a guy gets like sawed off, a lot of times they'll smell their bat. I've never, mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen guys smell their bat, but I didn't know it was for any particular reason. And Gary asked Keith if he smelled his bat. He said, never in my career did I ever smell my bat, but I did have a bit of a sinus problem when I played.
So great. Yeah, I've never smelled my bat either. Interesting that guys are doing that.
I told you before the show started, there's no rhyme or reason when I have you on as my, what is going to, I hope, yeah. hopefully be my consistent co-host, no rhyme or reason to what we're going to talk about. So a quick segue from that into, you're sort of corporate, but you've always been a loose cannon. So I'm not afraid. I don't see you turning down this question. When's the last time Pete Sestaro did cocaine in his life?
I'm a little corporate.
you can plead the fifth.
No, I don't know. I genuinely don't know, but I do know that the last time I did do cocaine was very strange in that I was so drunk and I was at a party out here and I didn't realize until like 2 days later. I did it on a Friday night, Sunday morning at softball. I said to my buddy Chuck, I was like, did I do cocaine the other night? And he was like, yeah, we all did like a bump from what's his name. I didn't do a lot of it, but I was so drunk that I forgot that I actually did it. And I guess some guy just, you know, had a little bit and I did like a bump. But before that, you know, it's been, and that was a while ago. It was probably like 5 years ago. And before that, a solid five. Those days are over.
Yeah. I mean, it'll never change that you still have, in my opinion, the best cocaine joke. We're not going to do it. I feel like I've told the joke or like done my version of it on the Dirty Sports, on the Kooks without you. I've done it before, but you guys will, you'll hear it at some point. I'm sure we'll bring it up, but it's just such a
true
great
story.
Great joke. And it's amazing. You know, I got to say, it's amazing that in all of our years together, living in the legendary 131 in Brooklyn, that we really didn't go hard. Like that there was never a night where there was like cocaine spread out on our kitchen counter. Mm-hmm. It could have so easily happened to us. We could have so easily been the guys who were just having cocaine on the kitchen counter every weekend. But the bottom line is I was very poor. So I was never buying it. To this day, I've never bought it.
Right. Well, that's the thing. You really, when you're young is when you should do cocaine and you can't afford it. And when you're old and you can't afford it, you shouldn't do it. That's one of the many reasons why it's a terrible drug.
Yeah. Well, we've both grown out of that phase, but here you go. Yeah. No rhyme or reason to the new Joe Prano podcast, like Keith Hernandez's cocaine problem, leads to this. What, you know, Pete, you and I live together in Brooklyn. You have had a stint in Costa Rica when you were running from the law. You have relocated now. How long have you been a full-time Hamptonite?
I think like 8 years. I don't know. It's crazy. But I, you know, I escape for the worst of the winter every year. So it's not like I'm a full-time Hamptonite.
There's, you know, I have a lot of fans. I always say we, because like basically all of my fans are from the Dirty Sports podcast or Eddie's podcast or the Kooks. You know, I feel like there's this big collection of we. When I say we, it's just like we, meaning the Royal podcast crew that I'm a part of, but right. we have fans from all over the country and the world. A lot of people have heard the phrase, or, you know, heard of the Hamptons. The Hamptons famous worldwide. It's where New York elite go to summer and party. What's life like for Pete Sestaro, full-time Hamptons guy? I mean, you're in the thick of summer right now.
Well, first of all, yeah, the Hamptons, I think for most people, like, conjures up thoughts of, like, incredibly douchey people wearing white pants and talking about investment banking. And that certainly exists here. I mean, world-class douchebags right outside my door right now. But the Hamptons that I experienced, you know, I surfed twice today. I played golf. I mowed my lawn. Like, it's a very different existence. I haven't worn shoes in like a month, you know. It's a very different existence for me than one would probably think when they hear the Hamptons. I rent my house, you know.
You played golf today. You played 9 holes?
I did.
How'd you hit them?
Like a pile of garbage.
Do you think it was your lack of footwear?
No, not at all.
Did you play fully barefoot?
No. So I misspoke. I wore golf shoes, but besides the 9 holes of golf today, I have not worn shoes in a month. You know, I wear shoes on the golf course.
Yeah.
But I don't wear shoes otherwise. I go to the beach and I go to fucking Cinderella.
Yeah. And I feel like I should even clarify on your behalf. I have a feeling when you're not playing at your country club that you're a member of, if you're playing Poxabog, I have a feeling your shoes are not on.
Correct. But yeah, when I play at the Bridgehampton Club, where I'm not really a member, but I've somehow scammed full member privileges, I wear shoes.
Pete, would you say as a duo that we are the Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, and I don't know who's who, about existing in these sort of places like fancy Hamptons country clubs and fancy dinners and whatever, without ever belonging, without ever paying the cover charge? I mean, we've got a pretty legendary run of like, what are you doing here kind of looks from people. I mean, we're going back 20 years now.
You know, I hadn't thought about that, the Jordan Pippen analogy, but yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know that I've worked a day in my life, and, you know, I basically spent the majority of it between Manhattan and the Hamptons. And I know you're at, what's the country club you play often?
In New York?
Yeah.
Wingfoot?
Yeah. You're basically a regular Wingfoot now, and that's, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg. So yeah, I think for some way we've been able to kind of Ferris Bueller our way through this life.
It's pretty good, you know. It's like I have moments where, you know, I think to myself, if I owned a gun, I would eat it right now. You know, We've always shared that, you know, huge emotional swings. But I also have those moments where I did this the last time I was in New York when I was on my way to play Wingfoot for the second time in 3 days. I was like, you know, I like doing comedy, but the goal's always been to like use my comedic talents to raise my stature in the world so that I can have, you know, a show or whatever, so that I could waltz into the world's fanciest country club and play golf and surf Malibu every day. Ding. And, you know, then it's like, I live in the Malibu area. I play Wingfoot literally whenever I want when I'm home. It's like, you can do all that stuff without the money if you just like are a good dude and have good friends. Like,
yeah, it helps to be white. It helps to be, you know, born in a certain area among certain people. But yeah, man, I mean, we've been very lucky.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Are we doing the surf ding thing?
Even in my daily life these days, if I say the S word, I still ding myself. And I'm here. I don't know what you're rocking over there. I think I saw a High Noon. But I've got my Miller Lite, and I've got a little nip of whiskey. So listen, not that I need an excuse to drink. The Mets just hit a 2-run homer to go up 6-4 here in the eighth. Nimmo. But you know, a ding and a drink, why not? It's a little throwback. I talked to Lachlan Patterson last night. Speaking of the ding and the Kooks of Comedy, he has been touring the arenas of Canada. Last night he toured. He did a show at the Maples, wherever the Toronto Raptors play basketball. He did stand up comedy.
Wow, good for Lockjaw.
Yeah, opening for Russell Peters. So that's Lachlan Patterson's status these days. It sounds like he's doing fantastic. Yeah. He's really enjoying himself.
I just want to answer your question. I am drinking High Noon, and along the same lines, my house guests who were just here, they left them in the fridge. So now I'm drinking High Noon.
Great. I don't know if I've ever had a High Noon. I think I've seen them in your fridge. Is it a seltzer?
They're tremendous. Yeah, it's just like a refreshing seltzer drink with a little like lime or watermelon, whatever you... This one, I think, has lime. And then it has vodka.
Oh, and vodka. So it's like a vodka soda situation with a little hint of flavor.
Exactly.
Great.
Very refreshing.
It's the kind of thing that I would drink and then would make me want to do cocaine.
Yeah, vodka has a way of doing
it. What's going on there in your, so you're in the Hamptons, it's a Friday night, is the Hamptons jumping this time of year? Where do we have any good summer Hampton stories? Has Billy Joel crashed his car in your house? You seen Howard Stern? Do you see my boy Keith Hernandez ever?
I do see Keith Hernandez. I haven't seen Billy Joel or Howard Stern ever, but I see Keith Hernandez fairly often. So much so that I feel like I need to talk to him next time I see him.
Keith. Because he's a Sag Harbor guy.
Yeah, and that's where I always see him. This is Sag Harbor. But is the Hampton jumping? I have no idea. I'm sure it's jumping. You know, like I said, I don't participate. I might as well live in fucking the Rocky Mountains. Like, I do my thing. I go to my same beach every day with my dogs, and I swim or surf, depending on what's going on down there. And then I go to the golf course, and I play golf with my buddy John, and we don't talk to anyone else, just the two of us. And it's great. And tonight I played terribly, and he played okay.
And so you guys play a match every day.
Yeah, I mean, it got really bad there for a while. Like, we were kept breaking clubs constantly. Like,
you both were?
Yeah. So we're like, we'd have to borrow each other's 3-wood. Neither of us had a driver for a while. It was getting really bad. Like, I had no pitching wedge. He had no 9-iron. So we decided to cool it with the matches and just kind of play golf. But we can't sell ourselves. Like, he was 2 over tonight. I was 3 over. And we both know it, you know, even though we weren't playing a match. So I wanted to murder him.
It's just like you have a running partner. Somebody to just keep pace with you.
Yeah. Exactly. But we're always kind of competing with each other.
Now, I was talking to comedy momentarily there. You made a visit out here to California in the winter. Was it the winter when you're here? When did you head back to the East Coast?
Yeah, I was there February, March.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of April.
You did a bunch of comedy while you were out on the West Coast.
I did.
Have you done comedy on the East Coast since you left California?
No, sadly.
Not one time?
No. Man. I mean, it would require me to go into New York City and get on a show.
Yeah.
Which, you're not here to make me or get me on shows, so that ain't happening. I guess Gerber could help me, but I haven't seen the guy. But yeah, I'm kind of bummed out about that because I had so much fun. I got a little momentum going. I feel like I just need to move to California because it's the only way I'm going to really consistently do stand-up comedy. And I'm strongly considering a move to the West Coast. That's breaking news right there. I don't think we can ever give up the Hamptons house.
Right.
Just be fooled not to, but maybe just treat this place like some type of like commune and everyone pitches in a little bit just to keep it alive because it's not that much money. And then I get a place out there as well, you know?
Well, I will pitch in money for free run of the Hamptons house whenever I'm back there. And you should let me know, you know, where you're thinking out here. Well, we should just, you know, be bi-coastal together.
Yeah.
Do you, as you have a, you know, in my opinion, a brilliant comedic mind, I would say that if there's ever anything that held you back with comedy, it was the fact that, you know, you get on a good run like that and then you could just, you're like Jacob DeGrom. You're like, now you've been out 6 months since the last time I did comedy.
Yeah, they just said in the game he's about to make his debut. Yeah. Hasn't pitched at all this year?
No, and I feel about Pizza Starro comedy the way I feel about Jacob DeGrom pitching. I'm like, we waited so long for this, and then he's back for like 2 months. We're like, man, that was must see TV every time he got up on the hill, and then you're like, yeah, he disappeared again. Do you constantly think of jokes still? Do you have notes? Like, have you written down premises in the past 6 months?
I have, yeah. And I do, I wouldn't say constantly, I'm certainly thinking jokes more when I'm doing it, but yeah, I've still been writing quite a bit since I've not been doing stand-up comedy. And yeah, I have a running kind of list in my phone and I'm constantly adding to it.
What's the last thing you wrote down? And it doesn't have to be the last thing. Is there anything pops into your head as you're like, I wrote, this is a premise.
Yeah. A couple premises that I'm working on. One is everything happens for a reason. It's usually like someone who's on like a, you know, morning radio show talking about their tour. Like some, you know, 18-year-old musician who's got the world by the balls who says like, everything happens for a reason. You know, it's never like,
It's never somebody that just ran over a kid while drunk driving.
Yeah, it's never like the parents of a child that's been like abducted, raped, yeah. Murdered,
yeah.
Like thrown in a dumpster, eaten by fucking homeless people. They're never like, everything happens for a reason, you know?
What's amazing is how many of those people will do like the Christian version of everything happens for a reason. They'll just be like, well, I guess it was God's plan. It's like, man, your God is a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
Your kid's in a dumpster with an axe wound where his asshole used to be because he got raped to death. I don't know if that's God's will.
Yeah, that's a lot to put on God. Turns out God has a sick sense of humor. So I just, that's one premise. Saw the Pope. I just happened to see the Pope like kissing the hand of an indigenous tribal, I don't know what the fuck, you know, one of those guys.
Yeah.
The headdress on. Because the Catholics have been like systemically abusing indigenous children. And I just thought like, does kissing need to be a part of this apology? Like, is that...
that's definitely not what the indigenous people want either. They're like the Pope's here, he's gonna make everything right. The Catholic Church has so much money and land, guys, we're coming out of this. I've got my negotiating shoes on. We're gonna come out of here with maybe a whole country, but we're definitely coming out of here with money. And then he just smooches you when you walk
in. Isn't that how this all got started? So yeah, you know,
let me ask you something, Pete. Do you know the name of our Pope? Do you know what Pope we have? Who's the Pope now?
Francis, I believe.
Is it Francis?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
That would be my guess, but I don't keep up with all things Pope. No,
I know. I don't. I mean, we were both raised Catholic. We're both Italians.
I went to Pope John Paul High School.
We know it's not Pope John Paul. He was...
No.
Okay. It is Pope Francis.
All right.
Which, in case you were wondering, I don't even know how this happens, but did you know Pope Francis's real name is Jorge Mario Bergoglio or Bergoglio? Where'd they get fucking Frank out of that?
Yeah, why is he Pope Frank? Why isn't he Pope Jorge?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Pope Jorge Mario.
So much better.
Way better. Francis isn't even an Italian name. Francisco.
The whole religion is just so goddamn silly at this point. It's not, it's worse than silly, but it's like, how is this still going on?
You went to Pope John Paul High School.
Mm-hmm.
That was in where? Delray Beach, Florida? Boca? Where'd you go?
Boca Raton.
Boca Raton, Florida.
So we had Jews in my high school.
Did you?
Yeah. We had Jews at Pope. That's how bad the public school system is in Florida. At least it was when I was there. That's how fucking treacherous public school in Florida is. And I went to public middle school, I can tell you. It's literally like doing time in prison. So, Jewish kids would go to my high school. Cindy Zimmel. I had a crush on a girl named Cindy Zimmel, who was pretty hot. I wonder what she's up to today.
I have a feeling, she's not super hot anymore. But I could be wrong. We should check her out on Facebook.
Yeah, probably should. But I'm sorry, what were you going to ask me?
Did you essentially stop being Catholic while you were still in Catholic school, or were you like Catholic throughout high school?
I was not a good Catholic. I mean, I was still Catholic. Yeah, I still believed in all the nonsense.
Did your parents make you go to church on Sunday?
Growing up, yeah. I was an altar boy, never molested, as far as I know.
Unless you've hidden it very deep.
Could be repressed memory. But yeah, I mean, I was, you know, doing drugs and drinking and having lots of unprotected sex in high school, but I was also
crushing on Jewish girls.
Yeah, with Jewish girls. But I was still playing the Catholic game of, like, you know, praying. You know, this also, by the way, coincided with my cocaine use. But when my sister died, she had the kind of cancer that you beat. Like, she had a Hodgkin's lymphoma. Like, that's the one you beat. Well, not everyone beats. They say 80% of people, 20% don't. Well, she didn't beat it. But I did tons of praying during that whole time. And that's when I just was like, this, you know, you couldn't pray. I couldn't have prayed more. And
right.
It didn't work out. So I was like, I've always known this is nonsense, but now I have no reason to fucking participate any longer. And that's when I retired from the Catholic religion for good.
Yeah. You did some heavy praying. Your sister still passes away. Some priest hits you with everything happens for a reason. And you're like, you know what? Fuck you.
Exactly. Exactly. Weird is, I like, my parents still pray. I know, you know, family members that still pray and are still like religious. Like, what? We lost. What are we doing? What are we doing? Like, we're not on this team anymore. That's the way I feel.
It's over.
Yeah.
The rounds went 10-8, 10-8, 10-8, the atheists.
Yeah, that's it. I quit. So I don't get it. Although I'll say this. I will say this.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this. I had COVID recently.
You did tell me that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, I was fucking really sick, like really sick. I was in bed 4 days straight, just laying in bed, moaning in pain, just moaning. I was embarrassed because I didn't want people to hear me downstairs. There were people here. I didn't want to hear them, you know, them to hear me moaning.
Now, did you, there were people there. There were people who were renting your house. They knew you had COVID.
Yeah. They don't care.
Yeah. You were just locked. No one cares.
No one cares. Yeah, I just locked it. These guys are like, I already had it, whatever.
Do you know where you got it?
No. I mean, I've been traveling a bit, you know.
Okay.
But, that's right. I got it from a French whore. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know where I got it.
I got it when I kissed the Pope.
Yeah.
Pope kissed me on the mouth.
With Jorge.
You got it from a French Jorge.
I was so sick, and this is how fucked up we are. Like, I was so sick that there were times in the middle of the night when I was like, please God, please God. And I knew, like, that's silly. Remember, he doesn't answer your prayers.
Yeah.
But I was still doing it.
Now,
see how powerful that shit is.
Were you doing it as like a vocal kind of like tick in a way? Like, you were like, please, like, you know, just please help. But people just play. Like, a lot of times I'll just be like, Jesus Christ. But like, I'm not.
Yeah, I know. I know you'll do that.
I'm not thinking about Jesus Christ at all. I'm just, you know, fucking Christ. Like, it's just something, you know, when Catholics swear, it's always a, oh God, God help me, Jesus Christ. Or were you actually thinking, God in heaven, help me beat COVID?
I think, gun to my head, I still believe in like a God. I think the brainwashing was that strong and severe. I just don't think he's like God Jorge of the Catholic faith.
Right.
So I think I was praying to the God who's, you know, I mean, let's be honest, we're just living in a video game. So I was essentially praying to the guy who created this video game that we're living in.
Right.
And being like, all right, enough. Come on, enough, dude. But it doesn't matter, because whoever that guy is doesn't care. He's not going to fucking help you out.
It would have been super weird if I had been in your position, severe COVID in Hamptons, because I would have been screaming, oh, Keith Hernandez, please help me, because he's my God. And he would have been like, listen, guy, I'm right down the block. You can't just be screaming my name all day.
Yeah, he'd probably hear you. So he's a stone's throw away.
Do you besides when you have death COVID, do you ever have moments where you pray about anything at all? You're ever like, oh, you know, dear God, let this happen to me.
No, never. But I will say this, and this is gonna make me look pretty good. But whenever I hear like an ambulance, or I'm driving an ambulance goes by me, I'll always be like, God help that motherfucker. You know, help him out. Whatever they are. So I say a little prayer for that person in the fucking ambulance pretty much every time. That's the only praying I do otherwise, even though I know that's complete and total garbage. But it's so weird. It's like, you know, we were abused, man. They brainwashed us.
Yeah.
Catholicism is abuse. It's child abuse. I really believe that. It's fucking child abuse. So even though I've like come to this awareness that like it's wrong and stupid and all that stuff, I still can't. The abuse was too strong, you know? It was my whole childhood.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that kind of goes for all like organized religion. I would love, you know, I mean, that's the way it is. You see like these, the religions that Christians will be like, these people are ridiculous. You know what I mean? It's like, you all just have your own fairy tale story. Like you could take an island full of people and teach them that, you know, I don't know, fucking pick a random you know, Will Smith is God, and then teach them all kinds of Will Smith lore and the time Will Smith sinned when he struck another man and then he had to repent and all that. Like, you could do that, and then they would come out of it just as passionate as people are about Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're right.
It's lunacy. And that's why I always find it amazing when people who are religious, like, I see it on the internet all the time. I spend way too much time on social media, specifically in the comment sections, because I think it's like a study on just like humans to like see how that, like, it's amazing that you can read so many opinions in a day. But you'll like this. Bubba Watson just joined the Live Tour. Right. Mm-hmm. And he said him and his wife prayed on it and God told them that this was the right decision. And then there was people in the comments arguing that like he's turning his back on Jesus because it's backed by Saudis and Saudis believe in Islam. And I was like, you guys are arguing about the fucking Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. Like, I can't even believe.
There's so much. You talk about a lot to unpack. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. You can't even, I can't even believe that people will like dive in with all this passion and be like, my superhero living in the sky is the real super. You're like, how dumb is everybody?
Yeah, we're all pretty dumb. And you know, you said that all the religions are pretty bad, but I feel like Catholicism is like a special kind of bad. Like, you remember, first of all, the only break I got from Catholicism, like as far as education goes, was my stint at Congress Middle School, which I already equated to prison. I mean, people were literally getting fucking shanked in my middle school. But if there wasn't that, sometimes I Google like Congress Middle School, like some of my classmates to see where they are now. one of the guys I went to school with, nice guy, played basketball with, he fucking shot someone in the head. He's in prison still.
Congress Middle School.
He was on my basketball team. Anyway, you remember, like, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, created heaven and earth, all that seen and unseen. Like, you would go to church and just say that shit.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
A profession of faith.
It's amazing. I think of Catholic hymns. I'm frozen. Am I back?
Yeah, you froze for a second.
Sorry about that. Okay. I remember.
So you do remember the profession of faith.
Yeah. And I remember all the Catholic hymns and stuff like that. To me, they're like Pearl Jam songs. Like, I know what the words are, but I never said them like the words, you know. I just said like, you're like, I may as well be singing fucking, you know, Black. Like, I was stumbling through that like Eddie Vedder with 8 glasses of wine in them. Like, you guys are teaching us this, like I'm supposed to be thinking about every word. I'm literally like, none of this shit meant anything to me. It was Pearl Jam nonsense mumbling.
You were kind of wise beyond your years, though. By the way, this high noon has watermelon in it. Delicious. I couldn't have planned it any better. Lime than watermelon. But I did, man. I fucking thought about those words. Like, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. And, like, it gets worse from there, you know? And, the whole idea that, like, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and I shall be healed.
Yeah, that's it.
What the fuck is that? Like, I'm not worthy to receive you? It's so fucked up. Like, yeah. If I was a God, I would never want people saying that shit about me.
I know. And I would, I mean, you're like, I don't know if I was wise beyond my years, but I always just looked at, I always took everything that they were saying at face value and then would be like, how do you... Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. I'm like, this bitch ass got nailed to a cross. Worthy to receive him. I gotta eat some dude's body who let a bunch of bitches nail him to a cross. Fuck this dude.
It just seems like the people who were writing it were like, all right, take this down. Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you. And the person was like, wait a second, that's a little fucking, isn't that a little condescending? He's like, just take it down. Trust me.
Yeah. He's like, no. He's like, the second verse. It comes back. He's like, but say the words, say those words.
Say my name and I shall be healed. Yeah. What words, by the way, what are the words? Say the word and I shall be healed.
Yeah.
Fucking crazy. And it's still going on. Like, good. I know good people. I'm going to spare them the saying their names on here, but I know good people who have sent their children to Catholic school and are currently doing so. Because they think it's like a good thing to do.
Yeah.
And I literally think it's child abuse. Like, what are you doing? Making this child think that there's something wrong with them. Like, original sin is like, it's just so life is so fucking hard, you know? Like, I double bogeyed the fucking easiest hole on the golf course today. Like, that's hard enough. I got to carry around original sin too.
Yeah.
It's too much.
And also, forget. You know, like you said, it still sticks with you in moments. Like, there are people far dumber than us who you put through this child abuse and they hold on to it seriously forever. Mm-hmm. There are, I mean, you know, we're in an interesting time in America. They've overturned Roe versus Wade. And then we have to have politicians discussing the policy, right? Like making decisions about whether or not we should do, like whether or not women should have a right to their body. And then many of them, not a majority of them, but many of them will come in and be like, listen, God. And you're like, can you imagine being a politician and responding like, well, listen, I believe in Peter Pan, and Peter Pan wants women to have fucking have control of, like, can we leave your fucking fairy tales out of public policy?
It's really crazy. I mean, it's so goddamn silly. I say this all the time. I just want to live on like somewhere else, like a different planet where people are just, give me 30% smarter, 30% better.
Every single day of our lives, we have to be aware that we could be talking to somebody that believes into a fairy tale that there's absolutely no proof that it ever happened. And we have to do that every day because so many parents were unable to express right and wrong to their children without doing it in like limerick form.
Yeah. People are ready to kill each other over like prayer in school. Yeah. I don't even know which side anyone's on either. Like, but what are we talking about?
It's, yeah,
fucking crazy.
It's
anyway.
It's insane.
I want to talk about this this Mets hitter, the big fat guy.
Daniel Vogelbach. Yeah.
Dan Vogelbach. What's his name?
Daniel Vogelbach.
Daniel Vogelbach.
Yeah, talk to me about him.
Dude, I love this guy. I think I heard this the other night, which is a great, you know, another great comment by them, but I think he swings at less pitches than anyone in baseball. They measure all this shit now, as you know.
Yeah. He's in the, I think, the 98th percentile when it comes to like basically his eye swinging at strikes that are like in his zone where he likes to hit, not swinging at strikes that are ball, not swinging at balls, not swinging at pitches he doesn't handle. Now he basically dominates. He's a lefty. He dominates right-handed pitching, not great against left-handed pitching, but yeah, that's his shtick is incredible.
This is the skill.
Patience. Yeah.
This is the skill. Like, you go to a triple-A game, double-A, basically double-A on up, definitely triple-A. Every single guy just crushes. Watch batting practice. They all just crush batting practice. They all have groove swings is my point. These guys can all swing it. But the fucking skill is, like, who can lay off that pitch that's just outside the zone and who can pull the trigger on their pitch, on pitches inside the zone. And for the pitchers, it's the same thing. Like, who can make guys swing at a pitch that's not a strike? That's the skill, you know? And he's got it. Like, he can lay off that pitch that's just outside the zone. No, and the Mets and Yankees are both pretty good at that, I guess. Like, so obvious. Like, learn that skill. Stop fucking sweating mechanics, launch angle, and fucking learn the skill to, like, lay off pitches that are just outside the zone. Especially now that they're automating all that, too, you know?
It seems like when you're talking about that, you're passionate about, like, is that something you had a problem with when you played? Or were you pretty good at that?
No, I was terrible at that. Yeah, I it's a miracle that I played professional baseball, dude. I'm fucking blind. And it's only getting worse. But I had terrible depth perception. I literally had a lazy eye when I was a kid. I had the surgery. They were like, you'll never be a pilot. I'm like, I don't want to be a pilot. I didn't care at all. But he was saying you'll never be a pilot because you have terrible depth perception. So I got to the pros with fucking terrible depth perception. Like, so yeah, anything off speed, change ups, sliders, you know, I used to throw my bat. Like, I would literally let go of my bat. It's awful. But I was a little guy, relatively speaking, especially during the story there. And a lot of guys threw me fastballs and I could turn around a fastball pretty good.
I've got to ask you, you know, I hate dipping too much into sports when I'm doing I do so much sports talk, but I got to ask you, right? Because you lived the era you're probably pretty close to his. I mean, you may be a little, but like Derek Jeter, are you watching The Captain? Are you invested in The Captain documentary?
I am watching it. I'm not up to date on it, but I spent a good hour of my day arguing with my friends about this today. About Derek Jeter. I feel like you and I won't see eye to eye on Derek Jeter. But a lot of people love to talk about like what Derek Jeter didn't do, you know, whether it's like balls he didn't get to, or he didn't play on a shitty team. But the guy fucking, he did a lot, you know, his numbers are great. When the game was on the line, you definitely wanted him up at bat. You definitely wanted the ball hit to him. And he didn't do steroids. I don't think he did. And he played that position at a time when a lot of the guys who were really good at it were doing steroids.
And here's the thing. And a lot of people, this is, I just said this on Dirty Sports. And I think I'm going to start making it my brand. But and so we're going to we'll play around with you, because now it is I'm officially making it my brand. But my thing with basically all athletes, and Derek Jeter is like a great example of this, not just athletes, musicians, movies, anything that people judge. I'm only ever concerned when people are misjudging something. Like overrated, underrated. If something's criminally underrated, I go out there and I fucking argue for it. If something's criminally overrated, I'll be like, here's why it's overrated. I think Derek Jeter should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer and is a great ball player and was clutch and was a part of five teams and was a constant on five teams and whatever. It's just, let's just present him as that and be like, there you go. That's pretty good. That's pretty high praise. If you tell me a guy should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, like, I don't know how much more praise you want me to give a guy, but it's like, you know, Derek Jeter is the best shortstop of all time. Derek Jeter's on the Yankees Mount Rushmore. Derek Jeter's the greatest player of the 2000s. Like, then you're like, what the fuck are we talking about?
So I feel like we do agree on this, because I agree with you. I think he's the first ballot Hall of Famer, but I don't. Yeah. I mean, when you said the greatest shortstop I've ever seen is Omar Vizquel, you know, first of all, I think of it as a defensive position first. And Omar, probably steroids too, you know, maybe not. I don't know. But yeah, that guy took away hits every night. He literally took away hits. He didn't need a glove.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't think anyone's going to tell you that Derek was as good as him. And Derek was a better offensive player in some ways, but. Yeah, he's just a great – Derek Jeter was a fucking great player. And if you just present his career the way you present it, there's no apologizing for him. But, yeah, I think there's many people who are overrating him, though, that are underrating him. Like, half my friends are like, he fucking sucks. Like, you know, he's a terrible shortstop. And it's like – my one friend, it was like he had – his postseason numbers were decent at best. It's like the guy hit 308 in the postseason with 20 home runs. Like
– yeah, the thing about – the thing about Derek Jeter's defense, the thing about Derek Jeter's defense, he has the least runs saved of all time. He's like, you know, as far as somebody who's played that long, like no one was less effective in terms of like saving runs, which is like an advanced stat, than Derek Jeter. But at the same time, he was always surrounded by insane play. I mean, there was, like I said recently on Dirty Sports, there was a better shortstop playing third base. With A-Rod there was a better shortstop playing second base. Something like they essentially just asked him to just be consistent and just make the plays. You don't have to be Ray Ordonez or Omar Vizquel or Ozzie Smith. Like, we're good enough where it's like, we need you to table set at the top of the lineup. But the problem is, I think he's overrated because people act like he did do all those things. And like, that comes with the lore of all that. Anyway, my brand is essentially quickly becoming overrated, underrated. So let's play some overrated, underrated with Pete.
Let's do it.
The Hamptons, overrated or underrated?
Both. Overrated as far as like the scene is highly overrated. Underrated as like a place to live. quality of life. Next one.
Okay. You have sent, you know, we live together in New York City. New York City, overrated, underrated?
Underrated. It's a great
underrated.
Symbol. Yeah.
Because I would argue like the majority, I would say if you ask the whole world, and maybe this isn't true because there are a lot of Chinese people in the world, and you know, like America's numbers don't compare, but like it might win popular vote for like best city in the world, but maybe not enough. It's you're saying, oh, still underrated.
If I moved to New York City because I wanted to be around people like you, and I got to be around people like you, smart people, ambitious people, interesting people. No, it's just a great city. I love it. I love New York. It's the greatest, you know?
Cocaine, overrated, underrated.
That's a tough one. Cocaine, overrated or underrated? Let's go underrated. just again, it's the best thing that ever happened to Kasumbe. What else?
Okay. High noons.
I don't know much about how they're rated, but I'm thoroughly enjoying them.
We're gonna go underrated.
Free high noons are certainly underrated.
I like it. I feel like there was a solid round of overrated, underrated.
Yeah, I think I like overrated, underrated as a game.
Yeah. I mean, that essentially that's like the thing. Like, I don't really give a fuck about like anything. I just, and also if somebody goes, oh yeah, this, you know, whatever. Like, have you seen any movies this summer, Pete?
Well, certainly not in a theater.
You didn't go see Top Gun 2?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. See, I
what'd you think of it?
I said 14 out of 10. So it's like, it's hard for it not to be overrated. It's hard for somebody to hear my thing and not say, well, he's overrating it, you know?
You enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it in that it was like, it was a perfect Tom Cruise 2022 action movie. Like as a standalone movie, if the movie was called Plane Guy, you'd have been like, that's a pretty good movie. Plane Guy is pretty fun, man. There's a lot of fucking fighter jets. There's a mission, you know.
Plane Guy is such a great name for a movie.
Yeah, Jetman, you know. But you take Jetman, which is just some like random Tom Cruise fighter pilot movie, and then the baseline of it is throwback nostalgia for an 80s classic. To me, it played the hits while also, you know, it was sort of like the U2 Joshua Tree tour that they just did a couple of years ago. They were like, yeah, you guys always come and you complain that you hear this shit. Well, we're just going to play that shit you liked from the 80s, the whole fucking album, and then we'll mix in some other songs, you know.
So goddamn easy to be a musician once you're established. Like, you just keep playing the same ones over and over again. Very different than being a comedian. By the way, I heard an ad and I have a couple comments on this. So hear me out. First of all, I just heard an ad this morning.
I'm just here to hear you out. That's the only purpose of this call.
Good. When I was driving my dogs to the beach, they were like, I don't have Sirius radio anymore. I just have like these local radio stations. And the guy was like, coming this summer to Central Park, Willie Nelson. What? Dude, I saw Willie Nelson like 20 years ago at Irving Plaza in Manhattan. And he was 100 years old then. He wasn't even singing anymore. He literally just says the word. He'll just be like, on the road again. I just can't wait to be on the road again. He was doing that 20 years ago. He's fucking still, first of all, he's still alive. Second of all, he's still performing. It's unbelievable. I kind of want to go see that.
I think that's great. Like that's what we need. We need Willie Nelson presented in Central Park to like, what a great guy to like to deliver to the masses.
I love Willie Nelson. One of my favorite lines in any song ever is picking up hookers instead of my pen. I let the words of my youth fade away. That's a good line.
So, safe to say you would put Willie Nelson in underrated.
Yes, he's underrated.
What?
The other thing I wanted to tell you was, before I forget.
Yeah.
The first thing when you say Top Gun 2, if that's what it's called.
It's called Top Gun Maverick. It should be called Top Gun 2 Maverick or whatever.
That comes to mind is this picture that was floating around the internet of Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis.
Yeah.
As they are now.
Yeah.
I thought that it was a joke. I didn't know that was a real picture. But God, that fucking depresses me. When I saw that picture, did you see, you know what I'm talking about?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the thing that is, it's a very specific two people who obviously starred in an iconic movie together. But like, you didn't see it, but did you watch the documentary Val? Did you watch the Val Kilmer documentary?
No. Good?
Absolutely. I don't know how people rate it, but it's still underrated. It's incredible. You should watch it. You should watch it immediately.
I might go watch it as soon as we're done here.
It's so good. But like, if that picture was, look at Kelly McGillis and Val Kilmer today, you would be like, oh, people get old, you know? Now she kind of fell off, like, especially, but I think because she didn't work, you know, she didn't really like continue working. I feel like those actresses, you see these, like you see the Nicole Kidmans who have their like ears moved down their head every year so they can pull their skin back. And
she doesn't even look like a human being. That's, if you're a woman, it's like, that's your choices. You can either no longer represent humanity, or you can just be like a fat, old, gray haired human. You
know? But like Kelly McGillis didn't like age especially bad for just like humankind. She just aged bad for like a once hot actress, right? And then they put her side by side next to an alien who doesn't age at all.
Yeah, I mean, and you can see the kind of cracks in that facade, by the way. I mean, he does look like a fucking weirdo, because, you know, that's not obviously not real what he's presenting to us as well. He's just like hiding it kind of well.
That was the one thing about Top Gun Maverick that threw me off, was like, Tom Cruise has done a pretty good job throughout his career in like how he looks, even in movies, of just like, I mean, he doesn't look his age because he's like 60, but you know, his hair's not like jet black anymore, and he's not like whatever. But in Top Gun Maverick, he went back to Maverick's old haircut, Maverick's old hair fucking color, Maverick's old wardrobe, and then you're like, this is weird, dude. You're just like,
yeah, like, it's all so weird. And my point is, because I said, you know, women only have the choice. No, we all just have the choice. It's like, you can either look like a fucking weirdo, or you can look depressingly old. Very few. And then there's like the occasional genetic freak that just kind of ages gracefully. But it's
somebody suggested to me recently that I dye my hair and that I dye my mustache. and I said to them, and this is somebody I've been friends with for a while, I said, suddenly I fear you know nothing about me. I'm like, not only am I not going to do it because of the effort it will take me, but I'm also not, I will feel weirder walking around with fucking dyed hair than I would walking around feeling old. And I hate walking around feeling old. And occasionally, especially when like my hair is longer, I have a lot more gray, you know, like the more hair you have, the more gray you're going to have on the side. And like, I'll put up a TikTok or like an Instagram, and people will just be like, this guy's fucking old. And I'll be like, oh God, I want to kill myself. I would feel worse dyeing my hair. Did you ever dye your hair?
No. And I think as a comedian, you really can't do that, because you're supposed to tell the truth. And I'm supposed to be like watching a comedian and I'm like, this guy is a truth teller. But he's lying Like, he's lying about his hair. I will not be able to get past it.
Yeah.
I'm sure not everyone's like that, but I don't think, yeah, I would never dye my hair or anything like that because we're truth tellers.
I'm going to continue to wear my cod piece under my jeans, but that's a whole different.
That's fun. That's fun.
We talked about Willie Nelson before. I remember from very early on in our relationship, you being a Willie Nelson fan. I remember you playing Willie Nelson around the house. I remember that about you. How often do you listen to music? You're in the Hamptons, so I'm sure you bike ride a lot of places. You walk a lot of places, you do whatever. When you're in the car, are you listening to music? Are you listening to a podcast? Are you listening to books on tape?
My drive is short. It's like 2.5 miles to the beach every day. So typically it's just music, and it's either the local radio stations, Connecticut radio stations, KC101, or it's songs on my phone, in which case Willie Nelson, Merle Haggard. I like depressing old country music.
Yeah.
Among other things. But yeah, I listen to music in the car.
Because this came up recently, do you listen to books on tape ever, or do you read books, or do you not ingest literature or things of that nature?
I do not listen to books on tape. I used to, when I lived in New York City, maybe on a subway or something. I remember listening for like a year to Steve Jobs, the book about him. This is the goddamn longest book I ever listened to in my life. But now I do not listen to books on tape, but I read books. Yeah. I'm reading a book right now. I mean, every night before I go to bed, I read for like 20 minutes.
Well, that was the genesis of the Joe Prano podcast, is sharing some art with people. What book are you reading? Are you enjoying it? Talk to us. Give us your book report.
I am reading. I never know the title of books, but I think this book is called Jack of Spies. I'm almost positive it's called that. I have no idea who it's by, and I am enjoying it. I didn't enjoy it for the first like 60 pages, but then they started fucking and the book became much more interesting.
Jack of Spies sounds like a Tom Cruise franchise.
It does. It's about some guy, Tom Cruise-esque spy at the turn of the century. And he's a British guy pretending to not be British, spying in China, but he's fallen in love with this Irish woman, and it's good. And yeah, I've been reading, man, because I like reading. I remember when I used to like read books years ago all the time, and then the internet came along and I stopped reading as much, and just been getting, in the last few years, getting more back into reading books again. And I really enjoy it. I mean, you and I used to read books all the time when we were living together. You were constantly recommending books to me. And then once we're so fucked. Like once, you know, Facebook and then Instagram came along, like my reading went way down.
Oh yeah.
And
it's so bad for our, like, you know, concentration. Even now I'll watch TV shows. I've been catching up on Stranger Things. I was behind on Stranger Things. Stranger Things, overrated. But I'm catching up on it because I saw so many of the, you know, it was so hyped, and everybody was waiting for the next episode, and I was just behind, and I was just like, man, I fell off. And then I was like, fuck it, I got nothing to do. I'm living out here in the woods these days. I'll catch up on Stranger Things. I'm now at the point where I'm like doing shit on my phone while I'm fucking watching something. That's so bad. Like,
yeah.
And honestly, the only time I don't do that is when I read. I will take my phone and I'll put it like away so I don't pick it up. And then like, yeah, if it buzzes or something, or if it like whatever, like I'll go check it if I'm expecting something or whatever. But the only time I don't just go like, you know, I mean, I watch the Mets game every night, and baseball's great like that. You have it on in the background, but like scrolling through shit, scrolling on the fucking thing. But now you're not Mr. Social Media guy anymore. You're not, are you even on, do you even have Instagram on your phone anymore?
No, and I haven't for years now. I'd say like a couple of years.
No Instagram, no Twitter, no TikTok.
No, I don't do any of it. I hate my phone. Like I don't want, and I've noticed when I get stoned, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but like when I get stoned, I'll want to like put my phone in another room. Like I want to be away from it. Like it's bad. I hate it.
I've been accused by many people of having a phone addiction, which I think I do. I don't think I have more than, you know, like, I mean, certainly more than like the average person, but, and I always defend it as like, this is it. Like, I don't go to an office like the whole day, you know, like the comedian thing is like, if something happens, you kind of have to have a take on it. If you see a trend happening, you kind of got to be aware of it. If you got a whatever, I mean, I obviously there are, I would love to be Bill Burr and be like, I don't have to know about any of that shit because I can just go up and talk about whatever I want and people will fucking salivate all over it. But there's something that I can't quite figure out how to like get it on a schedule that's reasonable where it's like, mm-hmm. Phone time, phone off time. I have like a 25 minute Instagram thing on my phone, like where I get an alarm if I've been on Instagram for the day more than 25 minutes. And I don't even know why I have it. It'll go off at like noon and I'll be like, forget this. And then it's just like, whatever.
Yeah, it's crack, man. We're all addicted. Anyone who says they're not is full of shit. I say that. So I'm not on social media, but I am on a WhatsApp chat group with my childhood friends. And I mean, I was on that for fucking hours today, just arguing about fucking Derek Jeter.
It's so like, funny. I was just,
what are we doing?
I was arguing for 2 hours the other day about Derek Jeter with Tony Calabrese. And I was just first of all, and again, I tried to make him understand my position and he didn't give a shit. He's become a late in life Derek Jeter stan. But yeah, it's the worst. Text threads, group chats, you know, you're just like, all right, whatever.
But I really try to, like, when I play golf, I don't bring my phone to the golf course. When I go to the beach, I don't bring my phone to the beach. When I read at night, my phone is not near my bed. Like, I definitely, when I watch TV, I don't have my phone with me. I'm not like doing two things at once. I'm trying to fucking do one thing at a time. For sure.
This is let's see how long we're coming up on an hour here. We'll wrap this up soon, but I will ask you this because you just brought it up and I feel like you're very like, honestly, your opinion on this probably means more to me than anybody in the whole world. I'm a new golfer. As you know, I started playing golf during COVID. Was playing a lot for a while. Now I've tapered down to like about once a week. But this is something that in golf internet talk, like, you know, popular golf conversations now, this is a big topic of conversation. Music on the golf course, yay or nay?
Yay, I like it. But I also don't do it. You know, I don't bring my phone on the golf course. I think it's not a bad time to just fucking feel the wind on your cheeks as you, I don't wear pants, I forgot. Feel the wind on your face as you walk down the fairway or listen to the birds, you know, like, I don't think it's necessary, but yeah, if I'm playing golf with my buddies and we're fucking, you know, in a golf cart, which I don't, you know, that's not how I play. I just walk.
Right.
But yeah, let's listen to some fucking tunes. Like I'm not against it.
Okay. So if you showed up to your not match tomorrow with your buddy John and he just had a Bluetooth thing strapped to his golf bag and he was like, hey man, can I play a little Willie Nelson today? You're like, absolutely.
Go for it. I probably thoroughly enjoy it. You know, in fact, I think next time I play, I'm just gonna bring the mariachi band. Just have those guys, just have them walk the course with me. Yeah, I'm fine with it. I don't care.
Okay, good.
But I don't want to be playing golf with someone who's just on their phone the whole time. Yeah.
Right.
That would be annoying to me.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. When you're in a cart, it's easier to do that. I try to I have a knee issue. I don't mind walking the course. But I I very rarely walk the course and carry my own bag. If I walk it, I'll take a push cart. But if I take a push cart, I'm never looking at my phone. If I'm in a golf cart, it's like it's tossed in the thing. And then the next thing you know, I'm pulling it out and checking it and whatever. But also I keep track of my game on my phone. I don't have a range finder. I use it for GPS, blah, 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 blah. But it was important to ask because, you know, there have been guys who are, I feel like, pretty cool guys, and they'll be like, absolutely fucking not, never. And I'll be like, oh, wow. People have strong opinions on this. You know, you can see my golf bag right over here. Mine comes with, you know, it came with a Bluetooth speaker. It comes with like, it's a modern golf, it's solar power. You know, you've seen the thing.
They know.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not much of an absolutely not kind of guy. Like I'm not big into like shit during sex. Otherwise, that's shit, where
getting,
I'm like
getting shit on.
Yeah. That's where I'm like an absolutely not guy. But otherwise, I can't, you know.
I was like, is he talking about it? You're like, no, it's absolutely what I'm talking about. I'm not into getting shit on.
No, that's my absolutely not thing. Otherwise, yeah, I'm pretty open-minded guy. What we wanted to be, you want music on the golf course? Go for it. I like music. By the way, sign it you're a psychopath. You say to someone, what kind of music do you like? And they go, I don't like music.
I had a girlfriend that you know very well, that I said that to, and she's like, yeah, I'm not like super into music. And over the course of our relationship, it was revealed that she had musical taste. She had like music she was passionate about, but like wasn't confident enough to say it, or like didn't, I don't know what, but even that alone, to me, if you can't even answer, like, mm-hmm. I like this, and then like that, like, yeah, you're crazy. Because, I mean, like, you're a serial killer if you're like, I'm not really into music. It's like, what?
Yeah.
You're just driving the car with the fucking sound off?
I don't like the sound of melody.
When I'm in New York City, if I leave the place I'm staying and I make it, you know, maybe I'm on the phone, you know, maybe I'm talking to somebody on the phone, and then I hang up and I'm 8 blocks away from where I left, and I realize I don't have my headphones, I either go back or I buy headphones. I'm like, I couldn't even imagine what kind of murderous scene the police would arrive to if I had to ride the subway in New York City without music in my, I'd murder the whole subway car. They'd be like, they'd be like, what happened here? And they'd be like, this guy got on without headphones.
Do you think is it hard for you to be alone with your thoughts? Like, can you meditate?
Yeah. But it's like,
do you meditate?
Yeah, but the meditation, you know, it's funny you should bring that up, because that's the kind of meditation is like, I forget, there is a term for this. So I used to, the only time I used to properly what people would consider kind of meditate is when I was working at Eddie Mac's baseball camp, living in the house where you are on the phone from right now, and no one would be there the whole week. I was just this solo guy in this house in the Hamptons. I would usually come back from camp, go to lunch with Eddie. And then when I got back from lunch, I would have this gap, like, where it was like, it's too early to like crack a beer. And like, you know, you don't want to start at like 2 p.m. And like, maybe I want to go for an afternoon surf or whatever. Like, so I would go out in your backyard there, no music, lay down. Proper meditation. Now, I found
that's partially because Eddie Mac was talking your ear off throughout that lunch, and you just needed some silence.
Yeah, but I was also reading about meditation then. I was reading about TM. I was doing like, and so I, like, they taught me techniques on how to, the thing, I would go out there and I would do the technique or whatever. And then something that I always noticed was that I would get into a very similar, I would get into a very similar headspace as I would meditating if I was, like when we lived in Brooklyn together, like let's say you and our roommate X of the third would like go to work for the day and I would find myself there. I'd like put on music and be like, I'm gonna fucking clean up our living room. And then in that next hour, I would just like get focused on a task and zone out and would get in this very similar mind space as I would if I was meditating. And there's a term for it that I can't remember, but essentially that you can meditate while doing mindless tasks as opposed to just like shutting off. And instead of having no thought, you just kind of have a thought of like, I'm just going to do this and I'm just going to do this. And now I feel like music does that for me where it's like, if I'm in my car alone, that's kind of what I'm doing. If I'm riding on the subway, I'm kind of doing it. Like I've had a million experiences on a New York City subway where I take it one or two stops too far, or I miss my transfer because I'm like zoned into some meditation state.
Still think it would be pretty interesting if you just like for a week straight took like 20 minutes a day and just sat with no phone, no music, no cleaning, no nothing, just you and your thoughts. And see if that leads to like double homicide.
Yeah. Well, something else that I've also done, the only time I go back to like a proper meditation is if I have like a big show or a big showcase or a big thing that I'm like whatever, and I've had some sort of major prep for it where I've built up some sort of anxiety about it, maybe. The last thing I will do, not the last thing necessarily, but like the day of, at some point I'll be like, okay. And I'll go out and I'll kind of go back to a Hampton style, lay in grass under a tree, have nothing, you know, have nothing in my sight line other than some sort of like nature and sky. But even in that, there's generally like, if it's not music, it's like sitar meditation. Like it'll be like, I'll go to iTunes, I'll go to Apple Music and be like 30 minute meditation.
I know, it's so weird. We meditate now with our phones. So fucking creepy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, you were painting a nice picture for a minute there, like I'm, you know, laying in grass, looking at nature, you know?
Yeah.
Sounds nice. The other day, I went to the beach. We rarely do this. Sat in a chair under an umbrella and read a book for like a half hour straight. And it was fucking delightful. Like, why don't I do this more often? So nice.
Why don't you do it more often?
Because it's always like one thing to the next, you know? It's like, I should do it more often. And I'm committed to do it more often, but I don't, you know, I'm just like anyone else. It's one thing to the next, you know.
Your schedule every day is get up, coffee, breakfast, dogs to the beach, maybe a surf, come back, mobile. You work, but you work from home.
Yeah.
You take that to a certain point. Then it's like bike ride, beach, surf, golf, home,
Jeopardy.
Dinner,
Jeopardy. Yeah.
High noon,
maybe a little scotch. And then I watch a little bit of Keith Hernandez.
Pizza Starro, the Hamptons life. All right. We're going to wrap this up. But before we go, I want to know, you've been in the Hamptons, you said 8 years, full time, give or take. Mm-hmm. But you've been in that Hamptons. I mean, how long have you been in that Hamptons house? Like
20 years.
That's crazy. Yeah. You don't own it. The comings and goings. The 131 has a pretty legendary, like, you know, family tree. But man, that house there, I don't think like pound for pound, but so many more people.
Well, funny you should mention that, because there's talk of having like an alumni weekend. And maybe we combine the 131 and Creation Farm, as we call this place, and have like a full, you know, East Coast alumni weekend out here. But yeah, it's, there's some history here for sure. And yeah, this is my home. Like, this was a share house where, you know, people would sleep on the floor and have unprotected sex, you know, regularly with strangers. And now this is like, you know, I have artwork on the walls. Like, this is, you know, I live here. This is my home.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a pretty legendary run there for a while. I mean, you guys really should do an alumni weekend. I mean, there should be events. Like, it should be a whole thing. Like, yeah. Honestly, you should Coachella it. If there's no room in the inn, they should have to bring a tent for the yard. I'll bring a tent for the yard.
Yeah, I may do that. Although I just feel like it'll end up like the old days where people would just be sleeping on the floor.
And do you think if I invite models to come for the weekend, that it'll just ruin the whole thing?
Yeah, and it'll be great. And you'll probably end up dating one of them for a long time.
that was like the sourest I was so beloved at the Creation Farm. The sourest anybody ever got was like when I brought a bunch of models to a house full of dudes. It was like, oh, sorry for fucking being awesome, guys.
Yeah, it did not go over well with the girls who were not models.
So what I wanted to leave you on is this, because you're coming to us from the Hamptons. You will always be joining us from the Hamptons. My new regular co-host when I don't have a guest, because we're bringing it back. We're bringing back the Joe Prano podcast. I just need it to be consistent. And I'm here to tell the listener that this will be consistent. And the way it will be consistent is when I cannot get guests, which I should be able to get easier because of Zoom. When I can't get a guest, it'll be Pete Sestaro from the Creation Farm in Bridgehampton, New York. Pete, what is your single greatest Hamptons memory? Night out, spotting, like what, like just give me a standalone, like it doesn't have to be like this is the greatest night, but like poor memory of the Hamptons.
Well, I mean, no one will ever believe this, but one of the first thing that comes to mind is like, you know, we play softball every Sunday and that's special. I think you've played in that game a couple of times.
Sure.
What a, you know, it's a eclectic mix of fucking characters. But I remember playing a Sunday softball game and then in the heat. And then that afternoon surfing the best waves I've ever surfed here at Ocean Road with Dr. Mark. Who'd have thought Dr. Mark is in my best memories of the Hamptons, but he is. And cool. He and I fucking nailed it, dude. We were surfing waves that started on the way on the outside and surfing them all the way to the beach. And it was like steamy hot, like a 90 some odd degree at like 6 p.m. August day. And I was just telling Carrie-Anne about it the other day because she's like, can't believe that the waves were ever that good. And I'm like, we were making sections from all the way to the outside, all the way to, you know, you end up with your feet in the sand. And that's probably my best Hamptons memory. Dude, I play softball every Sunday morning. Then we go to Pox and then I go for a surf. Like, that's my Sunday. It's not bad.
Yeah, no, it's pretty epic. And it's also your, I mean, there's a crew of guys who participate in that, but that's your Hamptons. You know what I mean? That's like not what people think of when they think of like the Hamptons, you know, you're not talking about pink shorts, white shirt on a fucking, you know, at a club. Yeah. You know, Madras Prince. You're talking, no, you know, you're talking cleats, softball, pox, surf. It's pretty good. Ding. Pete Sestaro, you're not on social media, so we won't have you plug anything. But what are there any parting words you'd like people to?
Well, the thing we can plug is like, look, I wrote a TV show and it's, you know, in pseudo development. But if anyone wants to fucking help produce a show about pharmaceutical sales that's never been fucking, the story's never been told, I mean, hit me up, hit Joe up. It's like, we have to get this made. It's way too important and the world needs it to happen. So that's my only plug.
If only you lived somewhere where you could find guys with money to self-produce your show. But we'll have to relocate you to someplace where people just throw money around for nonsense ideas. Yes. Guys, you can follow me on all social media, which I'm obsessed with still, at Joe Prano, except for Twitter, where I'm Fix Your Life. The last thing I want to say is what's remarkable about the dirty sports, talking shit, kooks of comedy, dirty slides, dirty politics, Joe Prano show fan base is that some of you guys have been supporting this show on Patreon the whole time. I haven't put out episodes with any sort of consistency for, I don't know, a couple full years now. But we're back, living in the woods. I got nothing to do. Pizza Starro, living in the woods. He's got plenty to do, but he can mix in one of these a week. So I've got a regular co-host. Shout out to everybody who has supported this nonstop on Patreon. We're bringing it back. We're back with guests. We're back with Pizza Starro when we don't have guests. And if you're listening to this and you're like, man, I'm so glad that it's back, join the people that are supporting it on Patreon. I just paid for this for another year. So we're doing it for another year. We're going to do it with some consistency. If you want to support it, we've got a Patreon. And if the Patreon just absolutely blows up, we'll throw some to Pizza Starro to make his script.
Oh my God. That would be insane.
Pete's script, by the way, a lot of people are talking about it. A lot of people telling everybody what they think. I'll just say it, underrated.
There you go. You heard it from Joe Prano.
Pete, thanks for coming on, buddy. And we will do it again very soon.
All right. Great talking to you, man.
Cue Doug Ray.
Hey, Joe, I like Joe's show. I tell everybody that's my shit. See, I had a long ride, turned the volume up high, and the time flew by so quick. I laughed out loud, that's what it's about. I really don't feel safe no more. And Joe stands out even in a big crowd, cause he drinks till he hits the flow. Hey Joe, it's time to stop the show. Pack it up and away we go. Donate cause we almost broke. Everybody, that was